You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Hola, amigos. It is Tuesday, October 5th. Got plenty to get into here. We'll hear from Jordan the intern shortly. Amy Just, 12:15. We'll talk Saints. Still having trouble digesting that one, huh, Saints fans? I know I am. Head coach Sean Payton in an evening conference call yesterday, late afternoon. 20 minutes back and forth with reporters. Catherine Terrell asked him, what about that play? You know, Jameis is going. You bring in Taysom. You ever second guess that play call, which turned out to be an interception? Why couldn't you get Alvin Kamara going in the passing game? What was wrong with the pass rush? He was pretty detailed, and I think you'll enjoy that sound here coming up. I'll try to mix some bites in this opening segment along with, of course, what took place yesterday, and that was a game to open up the preseason for your New Orleans Pelicans. They didn't win, had a game-winning shot or game-tying shot attempt, a three-pointer that was blocked. Trey Murphy III had it. It was blocked. They lose 117-114, but Trey Murphy was impressive. And one of the things that we saw in the game was him continuing to make three, something we saw in the summer league.
Now Gabriel fakes the three. Kick it near corner. Trey for another three. He got it. It doesn't matter if it's left corner. It's right corner. It is down. 21 for TM3.
Six three-pointers.
Three-pointer of the night, Todd.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you, Daniel. There it is. So six three-pointers by him. Again, 117-114. The second quarter was the issue with this game. Turnovers in that first half. I'm excited to get your takes, though, from Pels fans that got a chance to watch it. Again, it was streamed on the team's website. Wednesday, they'll be here at the Smoothie King Center playing their preseason game against Orlando. 117-114, the final of that second quarter, a 40-17 T-Wolves quarter. So that was a big difference, no doubt. They led at the end of one, 28-25. So I want to hear from you, Pels fans, and that brings in Jordan the intern, who will give us our question of the day. Jordan, how are you today, sir?
Your Tuesday's question of the day, after watching last night, what are your first impressions of this Pelican team? And you can comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter or call in 800-998-1003.
What were your impressions? I know we're going back and forth texting throughout the game here as to what you thought. And I think what I like about it is, look, some of the things I saw in summer league, I saw in that game, Trey Murphy, Herbert Jones looking good, things of that nature. I like that. Look, I can point to, okay, well, this is what happened and why that quarter went south. And look, it's the first game ever with those people playing together. In this philosophy, it takes some time. Practice is practice. Game is game. But they fixed it, and look, you had a shot to tie the game there at the end. I think all things considering, I'm going to say, okay, that, again, it's a preseason game. I'm okay with what I saw yesterday, learning experience. That's why you have preseason games. So I'm not upset about the loss or win stuff. I'm actually kind of excited about some of the things that I saw. Looked like they may actually legit be real.
Yeah, I think Ty kind of mentioned it during the broadcast. By the way, I love Joel Myers and Antonio Daniels, but I wish we can get the graph on every single time in kind of like a simulcast broadcast like it was last night. But I think Todd said it best last night, where it just looked like Minnesota was that team that, you know, been playing together for, you know, a few years, and it looked like it. And then you look at the Pelicans, a new core group of players, you know, coming along this, you know, offseason, new head coach. It just looks sluggish from the start. But, hey, you got to love the resilience that they showed towards the end of the game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What else stood out to you, sir, before we let you go and we can get some of the sound on for everybody?
I just think, you know, maybe protect the paint a little bit more for the Pelicans, and also, you know, maybe not get that block, that shot block, as much as they did last night. We'll get into more of it later in the show, but that was just, you know, some short takeaways from last night's game.
I'll ask you again coming up at 12:45. We'll do some top stories here as well, but some of the things I guess that maybe you would like to still see. Look, Giannis didn't play, and obviously there was an injury to Jackson Hayes. Head coach Willie Green afterwards talked about it, Jordan. And look, obviously you don't want to have injuries in the preseason, but before he got injured, what did you think of Jackson Hayes? He knocked down a three.
No, I think it was all over the court. I mean, he was the guy that was, you know, getting into the paint, and he was, you know, able to have a couple putbacks and pick up those, you know, loose balls. So I love what I saw from Jackson Hayes before he got injured. But, you know, just the group as a whole, I'm excited to see what's in store for them this preseason.
All right, my man. I'll see you then around 12:45.
Sounds good. Talk to you later.
There he goes, Jordan the intern. Here's head coach Willie Green, the update on Hayes.
Left ankle sprain.
Did you guys get anything looked at it on already, or did it appear to be something serious?
I'm not sure if we had imaging yet, but just from the word that we got from our medical staff is that it's an ankle sprain.
All right, so that's head coach Willie Green as to what happened with Jackson Hayes there. Overall, what happened in that second quarter? What went wrong? Here's coach.
Just our turnovers, careless turnovers. We had 15 turnovers in the first half, and then the second half we only had six. We take care of the basketball. We can play with pace, play with force. You guys see we can get any shot we want, but against any NBA team, 21 turnovers, 31 points off of our turnovers. It's tough to win games like that.
Nikhil Alexander-Walker, 21 points for him. He had 2 threes, 7 of 13. Also look nice. Here's Coach Green on what he was able to do.
Yeah, it's what he does. He comes in, he plays with pace, moving, cutting, setting screens, really aggressive, and we need him to continue that.
About him being able to get to the rim, here's Nikhil.
One thing Spoon always says is to put pressure on the defense, put pressure on the rim, get downhill. I've noticed just certain things from my rookie year to this year, and that's where the summer work comes in with just knowing myself, knowing I can get to the paint, but it's about what I do once I get there and just trying to work on that and improve that, but not set them, trying to put pressure on the defense, pressure on the rim, get to the free throw line, try to get some easy ones as well. And Trey's a huge threat offensively, so you gotta honor his ability to shoot the ball, and that's what I try to make the defense do every time.
Yeah, again, you got to love what you saw from Trey Murphy. 6 threes. He had 30 points. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, 21. Here's Nah on TM3.
He's very poised. So I think his approach to the game helps for his, inexperience within the NBA. Just his approach. He doesn't do anything outside of himself, but he's confident. So I think that's huge. For a young guy to come into the league and know himself already and to do what he does well and to stay in that lane and help the team in the ways that he did was huge.
We'll speak with Jake Madison from Locked On Pels coming up at 12:30, and I'll ask him one of the things that was trending on Pels Twitter last night, and that was, what about a backcourt starting of Nah and Murphy? We'll get his thoughts on Devontae Graham as well, what he thought about him yesterday. We have much more coming up from the Pels game last night. Again, your thoughts as your guest list looks like this. Amy Just will be next segment. Jake Madison will touch again with some top stories with Jordan, the intern. And then in hour number two, we like to talk to college coaches. Couldn't get Billy Napier on today from UL, but we will have Willie Fritz at 1:30. Leading things off next hour will be head coach Tim Rebo. Oh, it's a big one. Them and SLU, Southeastern. It's the Riverbell Classic. It's going to be over at Guidry Stadium. So Frank Selfo, 1:45, Coach Rebo at 1:15. 2 o'clock, right at the top of the hour, Tim Grubbs. Tonight's AL wildcard game, Yankees, Sox, winner take all. Uptown Ruler, thanks for giving us a call here on the show. What you got for us? Hello, Uptown Ruler.
This is Uptown. This is Uptown Will.
Oh, Uptown Will. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it. What's up, man? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Gus? Hey, man, look, I just want to tell you, even though they look a little sloppy tonight, man, I've been a long-time season ticket holder, and I just want to say what I love about this team, and the NBA better watch out for them because they look like they wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like even Brandon Ingram, I never seen him playing defense like that. Like he wanted to play. And yeah. So whatever Willie Green doing, hey, it's working. And God, man, you could imagine when Zion and everybody get back and they get this rotation together, man, we gonna be a dangerous team. But these little guys shoot like they could, I'm telling you, the league better watch out for us, Gus.
You know, like I said, I think one of the things that I was happy about that I saw yesterday was that you see some of the things that you liked in summer league kind of translate. I mean, Najee Marshall is just, I like anytime he's on a court, he's going to give you good minutes, right? Again, that rookie, TM3 is legit, man. That's real. I understand making a shot in the gym with no pressure on you. Can you do that in the game? Yeah, but you saw, as Todd said yesterday, it's just silky smooth. His shot, he doesn't look like he's forcing it. He looks under control, and you're listening to Na and other players say he just gets it. You mentioned B.I. I thought last Monday at Pel's Media Day, his interview here on the show was the one that stood out the most. He just seemed, you know, ready to take that sort of next step and be a team leader, understand things, and challenge himself to be better. And look, to your point, it's going to be apparent. You hear Green, he sounds measured, knows what he wants and what's expecting. It's going to be apparent if you buy in or not, right? It's real simple. I mean, you're going to see it on the court. Is that player, does he fit or does he buy in? And I'm real curious to see once Zion gets in and other players and you have this full complement of team, how long it takes to kind of get moving along and know one another, but at the same time, who's in or not? Because right now it does look like that. But if they do that, to your point, Uptown Will, you're going to be in the game, and you're going to have a chance to win. So go steal one on a defensive play. Go steal one with a fast break or a big three late in the game. But if you just give yourself a chance, you'll have a chance.
Right, right. You know, I feel as though, Dante Graham, that if it does come to a point where Zion and Brandon is maybe triple team or whatever, and they having a bad night, you have people that could mm-hmm. give you 15 to 20 points. And that's how the Bucks won last year, because it have to be a team effort. And that's what I like to see. I mean, we got to remember this was Herb Jones' them first NBA game. And they look pretty good. They look better than any rotation we had with Elvin Gentry and especially last year. So I mean, they look pretty good. And what, man, I've been tooting Nikhil Alexander horn. I mean, since this guy came in, since him being in college, he just have a neck to wanna win. I mean, mm-hmm. the ball won't stay still with him. He could get a little bit selfish sometime, but hey. What superstar not? And that's to me, he a superstar caliber point guard. He see a bucket, he see a lane, he feel like the person sticking him can't stop him. That's what we need to go along with Zion and Brandon Ingram, you know? And yep. Man, they ate up a 20-point deficit last night. That was, I never seen us do that. I don't care what it is. Summer league, never. We ain't never, even with Anthony Davis, well, Chris Paul, I'm talking about Byron Scott days,
mm-hmm.
Everybody. Byron Davis, I want to say. Look, I ain't never seen that.
Yeah. Look, I'll say this, man, Uptown Will. And again, I like being able I can go point to it. It's just taking care of the ball, right? And a lot of those turnovers you can sort of see. Devontae Graham running into Brandon Ingram in the ball. I mean, just getting familiar with playing with one another, where to go with the ball, that stuff's going to come. Can you shoot? Can you play defense? Can those guys look? Jackson Hayes left ankle sprain, but he had 20 points, you know, before he went off. So again, just it's October 5th. They tip off the season October 20th. Just get out there, see what you need to get corrected, and then, you know, play good basketball around March and April. I mean, that's kind of where I want him to be, you know? So it was a nice game to sort of watch the first one, man. Thank you, Uptown Will.
All right. Thank you. I'll see you later.
Yeah, man, appreciate the phone call. Quick break. When we come back, Miss Amy Just will join us. We'll talk about your New Orleans Saints. After I tell you, of course, about DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings putting new customers in the center of the action with a free shot at millions. You know how this works. Download the app, DraftKings. Put in the code LaRose. Then go pick your lineup. Each player has a salary attached to them. Stay under the salary cap and then just play. See how you do against the competition, and you have a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, remember, DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable. And the best part is you can deposit, withdraw your cash whenever you want. So download the app, DraftKings, enter the code LaRose, get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Simple as that. Miss Amy Just next on ESPN New Orleans.
Open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com.
GregLeBlancToyota.com.
We are home strong.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Rouse's Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Markets vendor partners. And thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, now open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
I was surprised.
I was definitely surprised.
Yep, we had no idea. Totally surprised.
Can you say jaw drop?
Who knew? State Farm, with these great rates?
The surprise everyone's talking about is the surprisingly great rates for home and auto insurance from State Farm, especially when you combine them.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today. 985-632-0988.
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
It's the NFL. If you let any team hang around for too long, you give them hope and make a play here or there like, you know, they get paid to do, and next thing you know, it's a game.
Yep, that was safety Malcolm Jenkins back on Sunday after the game. I'm still trying to process what happened. Amy Just covers the Saints for the Picayune and the Advocate. Follow her on Twitter at Amy, A-M-I-E, underscore Just. Amy, good afternoon. How are you?
I am good. I am also still trying to process what exactly happened on Sunday, as I'm sure many those who I'm lost for words. I mean, I can't talk right now. Like, I think a lot of people are
I have my chin in my left hand's, you know, palm. I literally was going to open up with, how did they lose that game, Amy? I mean, you look at the stats. The quarterback's not sacked in Winston. He doesn't turn the ball over. The other quarterback gets you two touchdowns. Kamara, they run the football well. They're up 11 in the fourth. I'm at a loss how you lose that game, and we all know this. It feels like that Falcons game out of Dubai a couple years ago. I just know, Amy, we're going to be sitting here in December, and that game is going to kick them in the rear when they're looking at a wild card spot. I honestly feel that's going to be a game they're going to look back and go, oh, huh?
Yeah, both of their losses are to NFC teams. So that's not helpful for them as far as tiebreakers are concerned, because as many Saints know, in the past several years, the tiebreakers have not been friendly to the New Orleans Saints, and this isn't going to help. Yeah, so to go back to your question, how do you lose that game? Chunk plays.
Yeah.
The explosive plays that we talk so much about, the 250-plus yard plays, it's inexcusable. The Saints' defense is better than that, and they know that. And that was the difference maker. The chunk plays and the yards after catch, that's where it was. You look at, you know, his passing numbers, 400-plus yards. Almost 200 of those yards were yards after catch.
Mm. Yeah, you know, the other thing that stood out to me yesterday in his afternoon conference call, Amy, was, which by the way was 20 minutes long, and I thought he gave a lot of detail. Like, for fans that go, he doesn't know what's going on. Oh no, he detailed exactly. He knew why the Giants did this. He knew why this play worked or didn't work. I thought it was very insightful that I think listeners are going to like when we play the sound coming up. But one of the things he talked about was technique. That technique hit him on the offensive end, defensive end. Obviously, that's fixable, but that's one of the reasons they lost. I mean, on the coach's show yesterday on Saints Radio, he's talking about Taysom Hill, the underthrow and the interception. He stubbed his plant foot. He stubbed his foot. Like, if he just steps properly and the turf monster doesn't get him, it's probably a touchdown. Like, that, it was that kind of day.
It was, and for the second week in a row, Kenny Stills has a touchdown called back due to a meaningless penalty, right? So it's the simple thing. It's for defense, it's tackling, it's, you know, being in the right spot. It's going back to all the things that they drilled, you know, back in training camp. And now that, well, you have more film to watch the opponents and you have more things to do there, they're letting the basics kind of slip a little bit. And mm-hmm. Cade Mills talked about that yesterday. He's like, we can't do that. It's not who we are. It's not who the great teams are. It's not who the great players are. They never do that. And we have to be better. He's right.
I want to get into some specifics here with either some players or some, positions as well. Speaking with Amy Just, who covers the Saints for the Picayune and Advocate. Let's start on the defensive end, since obviously that was the side I didn't hold on to the lead. I think it's both sides, though, right? If you score early, Amy, in those first three possessions, anything, it might not be this way. But on the defensive side, the last 2 days, we've had calls about Cam Jordan. No sacks through four games. I'm looking at the game. He is absolutely getting double-teamed. I get that. What's your review of what he's done, though, through four games? Like, I know he's getting doubled, but he's your all-pro D-end. And you don't have Trey Hendrickson's 13 sacks. Like, I need a sack from him, huh?
Yeah, you need a sack from someone. There were no sacks, period, last week. And the week before, I know C.J. Gardner-Johnson had one of their two last week. And so, like, it's good that your safeties are getting involved.
Right.
But you can't rely on your safeties for those sacks. Now, I think sacks can be at times an overhyped stat, because it doesn't always suggest just how many pressures a guy is getting, because mm-hmm. you can affect a quarterback and not actually bring him down. But in this case, there was no pressure really anywhere back there. I think they had six quarterback hits, which again is, you know, trending in the right direction, but 400 yards. And he had all day to throw. Like, there were several of those throws where he had 4 or 5 seconds to throw, and that's not a recipe sustainable for success for the Saints defense.
Now, I understand what he said yesterday, that the Giants did a good job of max protect, and then they also did a good job of getting the ball out of his hands quickly. I get that. Look, I go back to that NFC Championship game. I thought McVay had a great game plan for Goff. I mean, the ball hit his hands. It was out of his hands. It was passes. I get that. But, okay, so let's say other teams do that. That can't be one way, shape, or form. That means Dennis Allen's going to have to bring pressure, as you're saying, safeties or corners, and that allows them to be exposed, right?
Yeah, it does. You know, you can only give so much, right? What I do think will help eventually is getting David Onyemata back.
Yep.
Getting Marcus Davenport back. Of course, you can't just like, oh, well, we're going to suck until we get them back. No, you can't do that. You can't have that mindset, right?
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, they have to figure out a way around the max protect. For those who aren't familiar with that, it's when they have – typically it's either two tight ends or a pass-catching eligible six wide receiver and an – or not wide receiver. Eligible as a receiver, but a lineman and tight end on the other side. So as many big bodies as you can to protect the quarterback is basically what max protect is. There was a lot of that from the Giants and mm-hmm. from the Saints, frankly, too. On Sunday, and the Saints defense has to figure out a way to get past that, because when other teams see what's working against this otherwise formidable Saints defense,
mm-hmm.
the Saints are going to see it again. They're going to see it again.
Yeah, no question. Expected, right? And we'll see what happens on Sunday as they take on Washington. I want to switch to the other side of the ball. Speaking with Amy Just, covers the Saints for the Picayune and Advocate. You know, when you look at one position group that's just standing out, it's a question mark. I don't even know if it's the chicken or the egg here, right? Is it bad quarterback players? The receivers can't get open. Several people have looked at film by now or are posting photos. Deuce Windham's just the only one that's popping off the front of my head from The Athletic. And he posted a 3 seconds after the snap, 5 seconds after the snap on that third down where Winston's mm-hmm. trying to hit Tony Jones Jr. and it's broken up and there's no separation. No one's getting open. Through four games, do the Saints have a receiving problem, or is it a timing thing where if Jameis throws it on time or a certain spot, they're open? I don't know, the phrase throwing them open. What do you see with the passing game?
I think it is a combination of all of the things. I think it partially a little bit on the play calling. Because you've got Jameis, who is, you know, making a bajillion reads and is indecisive, mm-hmm. At times. And he didn't get sacked this past week, but he got sacked a lot in the previous, you know, couple games. And some of that is due to his hesitancy. Then you have, the plays that get called back due to holding or whatever, like that 40-plus yarder to Kenny Stills. Then you have, this hasn't been an issue lately, but in week two, the issues with the offensive line. Then you have, not a whole lot of veteran, you know, experience at wide receiver. And then you have the chemistry potential issues there where Jameis just isn't familiar with not only those guys as was familiar Drew Brees with all of his receivers. And that, like, there's just so much going on here.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the Saints are, I go back to the play calling and I didn't make the point that I wanted to make. They're choosing to play like this. Like, they're choosing to be relatively conservative. With their passing game, you right. know, like Jameis isn't airing it out and being the gamer that he has been in the past. He feels like a game manager, and I don't know if that's the new identity that he has. The Saints don't really have an offensive identity outside of give the ball to Alvin.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way, too. Got about 2.5 minutes here. I just need, like, 30 seconds. Has Adam Trautman in Saints fans' minds replaced Jared Cook, who absolutely looked like Dwight Clark yesterday in the Monday Night Football game with the Chargers? I mean, you know Saints fans are like, where was that last year? I don't know. I kind of feel like with Adam Trautman, I could probably right now jot on two columns, pro and cons, probably writing down some more cons than pros right now.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of all of that. None of the tight ends have really flashed to me outside of a couple plays from Juwan Johnson. I just think that maybe getting rid of both of their veteran tight ends in the offseason wasn't the move.
Yep. Finally, Amy, let's wrap up with your thoughts as to what you're going to see on Wednesday. What is the storyline here? Look, bottom line, it's a bad loss. Can't replay it. Could still go into the bye 3-2 and only a game out of first place and things of that nature. So a big game, but this is a tricky game. Tyler Heinicke, he's like Madden. You know, he's just one of those games that you don't know what you're going to get out of him, but he's going to run around. He's going to throw it. He's not going to quit. That D-line scares the heck out of me with what they can pressure-wise do. So I think this is going to be a really tough win, I think, if they can win.
I do, too. So what I'm going to be looking for on Wednesday is who's back at practice? Is Teron back? Probably not. Is McCoy back? Maybe. What kicker is hanging out at practice? Is it Will Lutz? Is it Aldrick Rosas? Is it someone else? Is Traquan back? How about, Marcus Davenport or the one veteran tight end that they have in Nick Vinette? Is he able to come back? Like, I could keep going down the list of guys who could potentially come back, right? So that's what I'm going to be looking for on Wednesday is, are any of the injured guys back? Because that would help. That would help a lot. So, yeah.
Okay. Easy enough. Amy, as always, I appreciate when you join us here on Tuesdays. Safe travels, and we will talk again next Tuesday.
Yeah, can't wait to go back to Washington. Intern there in college. Always a great time.
Nice, always. At Amy _ Justin, way to follow her over on Twitter. When we come back, we'll transition to the hardwood. Jake Madison, Locked On Pels. Pels lost yesterday, but were there more positives than negatives in the preseason opener? We'll find that out next on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. You look back just without a reason. Another promise falling through another season. Passes by you.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in first comprehensive sports medicine program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
It's a new season, everyone. No, not football season or the fall. It's the season to change up your stale wardrobe. And that's where the new Stitch Fix Freestyle comes in. Listen, we've all probably let our own personal style fall off a bit for over a year now. But Stitch Fix Freestyle is a highly personalized shopping experience that allows you to discover and instantly buy clothing and accessories based specifically on your style preferences and fit. So get those new looks for any occasion today. Head to StitchFix.com to get started.
Get in zone, AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So your headlights are getting dim? With the seasons changing, now's a great time to change them. Upgrading your headlights can ensure you'll be safe and ready to handle darkness and fog. Oh, and we recommend replacing in pairs. That way you won't have uneven lighting over time. You can get all of your lighting needs fast with our next day delivery and free same day store pickup. Getting the job done just got easy.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
It's going to come down to the end for this Dallas Cowboy team. In my opinion, they're going to run away with this division. They're going to get a really good seeding in the playoffs, and they're going to be one of those teams that people who were sitting around waiting for the bottom to fall out over the last couple years are going to probably have to eat their words. They are a really good football team. They're going to be a team to be reckoned with.
G.J. and Max, mornings on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
And layup no good, but he got his own rebound. Out right corner to Trey Murphy for three. No! Dunked in with two hands by Jackson Hayes.
Put it on his head.
Todd Graffinini, Daniel Salazar with the call here on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. We're bringing in Jake Madison. From Locked On Pels, of course. You can follow him on Twitter at NolaJake. Jake, new season, sir. Finally, we can talk basketball as in what just happened. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Happy to be on talking some hoops with you today.
No doubt. Look, I'm with you. Let's just start here. I like what you said after the game yesterday before you recorded your latest episode. And more positives than negatives on it. Yes, you lost. You look at the second quarter. We'll get into that. There was an injury, but you heard Jackson Hayes with the dunk there. look, 20 points from him, obviously a left ankle sprain, that'll heal up in no time here, but just overall your thoughts about what you saw by some of the guys.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to preseason basketball, don't look at wins and losses. And the final score of the game is largely immaterial here. And actually, when you look back on it, the Pelicans have won 15 games that don't matter towards the playoff standings. They're 15-0. It's like 12 in preseason, 3 in the bubble, things like that. What did that end up doing for them, right? Nothing. So wins and losses don't matter here. It's more about how these guys play individually. You can't read too much into it as a team, because you don't have Zion Williamson out there. You don't have Valanciunas out there. They ran with a weird starting lineup. They ran with some weird rotations. So you've got to look at individual performances. And you saw two guys step up, two guys that this team is going to need to step up if they want to make the playoffs this year. And the first one was Nikhil Alexander-Walker, scoring 22 points in this game, coming off of the bench and really being the focal point of the team when he was out there on the court. I liked what we saw out of him. This is a third-year guard that needs to take a step forward. He's maybe going to be a starter this year, and they need him to play like an above-average starter. Mm-hmm. And he did last night, and I thought that was awesome. He got downhill and was attacking the basket in a way we never saw from Lonzo Ball here. And when he did that, good things happened. You saw the defense try and collapse on him to try and take away the rim in layups, and he just kicked the ball to the corners for open shooters to try and knock down those threes. And the first three that was made in this game for New Orleans was off of Nikhil Alexander-Walker assist of him attacking the basket where he dished it out to Josh Hart, and then Josh Hart drained the three. That's what you needed to see from him, and he stepped up in this game, in a game where New Orleans wasn't playing well as a team overall, and he's one of the big reasons why the final score, this one was actually close. And then the other guy is rookie Trey Murphy. They need him to be a consistent three-point threat. We saw it from him in summer league where he was shooting lights out, and he just kept that form going forward. 6 of 10 from three in this one. Teams are going to have to cover him on the perimeter. And if you're running him out there in the starting lineup, and I think there's a good chance that he will be a starter this year, well, if you're putting a body on him to try and prevent him from going 6 of 10 from three, which is a ridiculous number, by the way, it means you're going to have more space for Zion Williamson down low, for Jonas Valanciunas down low, and for Brandon Ingram to try and drive from the perimeter and attack the basket more, which is something he wants to do this year. So they need both Nikhil and Trey Murphy to step up, and they did it individually last night. I don't think you can really ask for much more than that in a preseason game.
Speaking with Jake Madison, Locked On Pels, to your point, I thought the thing that I saw the most on Pels' Twitter that was trending the most was, well, wouldn't maybe a start of, you know, Naw and TM3, how interesting would that be? Their length, their size, their ability to handle the ball, things of that nature. That's not on Devontae Graham. That's just, could you imagine something like that? Look, I think you're going to see a lot of minutes with both of those guys. So your thoughts on that, and then if you want, go ahead and delve into your thoughts on Devontae Graham. He had 4 turnovers yesterday, 9 points.
Yeah, you know, I think they can go a number of different directions with the starters, and I think they're going to really experiment with the starting lineup that they're running out of preseason. And again, no Zion Williamson, right? So there's not too much to read into this. You know, I think they like the aggressiveness from the guard position with Nikhil Alexander-Walker. There's no real pure point guard on this roster. The guy's going to kind of orchestrate your offense, right? It's going to be a lot of kind of secondary ball handlers. Zion's more of a secondary ball handler than a primary ball handler, even in point Zion mode. Same for Brandon Ingram. So if you just fill this roster in the starting lineup with guys who can handle the rock enough, you know, it kind of equates to having that one guy, and I think maybe that's a direction that the Pelicans are going to be looking at, which means Nikhil Alexander-Walker in the starting lineup, able to kind of get that dribble penetration from the three-point line, force the defense into rotations, and just create easier baskets for others. And that's something that he did last night, so I could absolutely see him starting. And then you put Trey Murphy out there, where he's, what, your fifth guy offensively, your spot-up shooter. You're not asking the rookie to do too much. You're putting him in a really strong position to succeed. I think that makes a lot of sense. At the same point, though, I could also see a guy like Devontae Graham just needing to be in the starting lineup for his three-point shot. He was 2 of 5 last night, so that's 40%. The team as a whole kind of struggled to shoot the three ball a little bit. They need that shooting. They need that spacing. If he's going to be your best three-point shooter, I think you almost have to pair him alongside Zion Williamson, just for the spacing aspect of everything. But it's nice to know that they have a lot of options that I liked. You know, that's something that we haven't really had here in a while in New Orleans, where this team has a number of different combinations, and they're not all terrible. Only one of them makes sense. They could go a number of different directions. I think it's going to come down to fit over the preseason, and that's why you'll see Willie Green explore a number of different things and a number of different starting lineups, a number of different rotations and combinations to really try and figure out what's going to work with this roster. But look, they had maybe one of the worst backcourts in the league last year with Eric Bledsoe, who it's very nice not to see him out on the court last night for New Orleans, I can tell you that. And Lonzo Ball now in Chicago, who was very limited as a player despite being a pretty good three-point shooter. But now you have some depth and some combinations. It means maybe you can dictate games, you can dictate matchups more so than they were able to last year. So I'm pretty optimistic about what this Pelicans team is capable of doing right now.
At Nola Jake's the way to follow Jake Madison over on Twitter. Yeah, your tweet about, hey, what's positive is you didn't see a Bledsoe out there today. It is. It's true. Look, options that are good or like or that you like, as you just said, are different than options in, well, what do I do now? And look, one of those guys that I just don't know how you keep off the floor because he's just a positive influence is Najee Marshall. He played 18 minutes. In those 18 minutes, Pels fans, 9 points. He got a block. He got 2 steals. He got 2 assists. He got 7 rebounds. He went to the line 4 times, knocked down 3. He just does a lot of different things to add a digit or two into the box columns, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's just a well-rounded player, right? You know, a Swiss Army knife of sorts that's just going to hustle and play hard out there. And I think you could see him in the starting lineup even. I don't think that's inconceivable, particularly with the way he played in Summer League this year, you know, just kind of being head and shoulders better than most other guys, showing he belongs in this league. And it's someone that New Orleans has invested a lot in terms of development, bringing him along from a two-way deal to where he's been now. And I think that's an awesome win for the team. And I think he wants to kind of pay that forward and be that guy that can really contribute to this roster in winning. And he just hustles, right? When New Orleans was struggling to start the game last night, it was Najee, who was the one that was doing the scoring and doing a lot of the dirty work, forcing steals. You saw last night, even defensively, like guys kind of combined for a steal. It only gets credited to one player. But Najee Marshall had his hand in creating a lot more of those turnovers than he's just credited with in the box score. You like a guy like that in the starting lineup with some defensive versatility to kind of help Brandon Ingram and cover for Zion Williamson a little bit there since they're kind of subpar on the defensive side of the ball. He didn't shoot well, but if he does become a little bit more consistent in terms of all of that, I think he's a guy that really could contribute in the starting lineup this year.
Jake, obviously, Zion and Brandon Ingram, supposedly the two best players on this team, right, should be. Those are the guys that you and I have talked about, how this franchise is going to go, what steps they're going to take. It has to be their development as well. I was just impressed by the interview last Monday here on the show at Media Day. I liked what you've seen through practices. And look, yesterday we had a caller. We had Uptown Will call and said he looked engaged. He looked like he was hustling on defense. He got 2 steals. What did you see out of him, and what were your impressions from Media Day till now?
Yeah, look, for a guy like Brandon Ingram, you know, he needs to really be the leader of the team. And you saw him come in more muscular, kind of talking about how he needs to lead almost by example, right, on Media Day. And I think that's really the biggest thing. We know what he can do offensively. He's now just got to show it everywhere else. And this is something that just gets repeated around the NBA, right? When your best player on the team is hustling and trying hard, you got to keep up with that guy. They kind of set the tone, right? It's really as simple as that. And Brandon Ingram this offseason really worked on being the leader on the team, I think. He was the guy that organized a lot of these off-season workouts, wanted to bring players to Phoenix where he was living during the time to work out and try and get a jump start on the year. And it made these other guys step up and do that if they were capable of going. And so I love to see that out of him. He looks more engaged defensively in this game last night than we had really seen all of last year. It's preseason. It's the opening game. He's got fresh legs. Let's see if that kind of continues. But I also loved what he said at Media Day about putting on that extra weight and that muscle. And he said, look, you know, when I get to the rim, I want to be the one dishing out the blows, not the one receiving the blows from defensive players. I love that. One, it speaks to the type of way he's going to play this year, which I think is less reliant on his mid-range game and more trying to be a guy who's aggressive in attacking the rim, again, taking it to opponents. That's going to carry over on the defensive side of the ball, too. And if he hustles from spot to spot like he did last night, I don't know if he's going to be an excellent defender this year, but if he can get to above average, I think that would be good, and that's going to help New Orleans tremendously, and it looks like he's on that path.
It's a mindset, Jake. It speaks of a mindset of not looking for calls or not being away, and It goes to the whole aggressive nature to it. Look, I liked listening to the players and coach last night after the game and just speaking about what they want to do. I know it's early. Let's see what happens. But tomorrow night, they'll be at the Smoothie King Center taking on Orlando. What do you want to see tomorrow?
You know, it's a couple of things, right? You want to see another, you know, consistent performance from Nikhil Alexander-Walker, from Trey Murphy. You'd like to see another guy maybe step up, someone that they need to. You'd like to see Devontae Graham maybe become a little bit more of a focal point of the offense. All those individual performance things would be really, really good. I think the biggest thing is stop shooting yourselves in the foot. That first half of the game last night looked like the New Orleans Pelicans of old. And in my preview for it, I did a show of like five things I want to see in this game. And one of them was basically look and feel like a different team from the years past. As in, they came out of that game and looked exactly like the Pelicans from last year, turning the ball over 14 times in the first half, unforced errors, just bad inbounds, looking a little bit, you know, disoriented. And then it got better as time went on. But could they come out of the gates looking a little bit more focused? Could they not just throw the ball away like they had been doing and really value the basketball? And I think that's kind of what I'm looking for. Do they just go, oh, whatever, that was an aberration, we don't really care, and then you kind of fall into those same traps again? Or are those things that even though it was a preseason game in the opening quarter, opening half of it, you still aren't happy with that performance and you're looking to actively correct it? And if they are, I'm going to feel good about where this team is at mentally and the preparation that Willie Green is instilling in this group.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pels, as always, sir, appreciate your time. At Nola Jake's, the way to follow you on Twitter. And, of course, Locked On Pels, when you look, Locked On Pelicans, when you want to look at the incredible podcast that's going on. And I can't wait for tomorrow just to kind of, you know, see again, man. I'm interested and excited about where things can go. I legitimately think that. Because, look, you didn't see Giannis yesterday. You didn't see, you know, Zion, obviously. And those are going to be two starters of your starting five. So I don't know. Something makes me excited about this team, hopefully. Maybe it's just hope, Jake. I don't know.
And look, it's early in the season, so there's a chance we get crushed a little bit later as the year goes on. But, again, big performance from Nikhil Alexander-Walker. You had Trey Murphy really step up and not looking like a rookie, and he's in a position where he should be able to do a lot of that, I think, over the course of the year. Maybe it's not six threes per game, but he's going to be an open shooter that's going to help space the court. There's a reason to be optimistic right now, and if the Pelicans can continue some of that, regardless of whether they win or lose tomorrow night, I think we'll be feeling pretty good when it comes to opening night against the Philadelphia 76ers.
Jake Madison, Nola Jake, Locked On Pels. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate your time.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, Gus.
Yep, for sure. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll hear from Jordan, the intern. A couple of top stories from him. Plus, we'll play some more sound from the Pels game last night. And then also some more from Sean Payton yesterday. He was really, really good. We'll get into that in the top of the hour here as well. Don't forget, 1:15, Tim Rebo, the Colonels. They won this past weekend. They will take on another team that won this weekend, Southeastern, the Lions. Coach Frank Selfer will join us at 1:45, the Riverbell Classic, Guidry Stadium, Saturday, high noon on ESPN New Orleans. It should be fun. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply, 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start. And we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from Etel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back. And we're here to make your business surge. Etel Business. Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
Always on the run and short on cash. With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Go, go, Mexico.
Mexican restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland is open and ready to please you. They have daily lunch specials Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mouth-watering Mexican food daily with delicious specialty dishes like coconut shrimp tacos, Baja fish tacos. Plus try the trio burritos or the carne asada. Coco's Mexican has happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. Delivery service from waiters also available. They're located on Highway 1 in Raceland next to the post office. Coco's.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Jordan, the intern, returns. Got to see what kind of top stories we got today, so let's get to it.
Here's a look at what's making news. Let's check out the Sports Hangover's top stories.
All right, buddy, what do we got here today?
All right, let's start off with the NBA. This morning, the Phoenix Suns kind of were putting out there that they are reluctant to offer DeAndre Ayton a max contract extension, which has caused a discussion on a deal to stall. So I'm kind of confused with what Phoenix is kind of doing in this situation. I mean, he was kind of one of your big pieces in that NBA Finals appearance run this past season. So kind of confused what Phoenix is, you know, thinking about, you know, paying him here in the upcoming future.
That is very interesting when you look at all of that. But a lot of it, remember, it could be posturing, you know, when I throw in there, well, I don't know what we're going to do. And then fans and everybody else, because we got to re-sign him and all that. So keep an eye on it. Obviously, it's still kind of early, but definitely a message sent, right? No doubt.
Absolutely. Sticking to the NBA, Kyrie Irving did not appear at Nets practice today. Irving is currently ineligible for home games and practices due to New York City's vaccination requirement. So that's what's going on in Brooklyn. There seems to be a little bit of a falling out. Maybe that opens up the door in that conference for another team, and it just won't be a Lakers and Brooklyn Nets Finals matchup if Kyrie does continue not to get, you know, vaccinated.
Yeah, look, that whole thing is just, again, going to be interesting in that you've had a lot of different high-profile players, and I want to say, Jordan, this week, I think yesterday, it came out, Steve Kerr said that Andrew Wiggins, who was a guy with the Warriors that had been saying he wasn't going to get vaccinated, came out and said that he was vaccinated. So you wonder if he's going to change his tune or not. It doesn't seem to think so, but that's going to be interesting if you don't have your players. Like, what if you can't have your players because of that? Again, not that every player on a team isn't important, but that is one of your key players. And if they literally can't practice or can't play because they're not vaccinated, that's, I don't know. I honestly don't know what you do there, man.
Yeah. And just kind of, you know, sticking with the NBA still, to the next storyline, the Pacers are among the teams who have talked to the 76ers about a potential Ben Simmons trade for Ian Begley. Caris LeVert was one of the players brought up in those, you know, kind of trade discussions. So that's another thing to kind of keep an eye out if you are into the NBA and everything that's going on, you know, with the start of the season right around the corner.
Yeah, that's true. What else you got for us today? Anything in the NFL?
Yes, we are going to move to the NFL. Pro Football Talk just put out a couple minutes ago their power rankings. And at one, we have the Buffalo Bills, the Cardinals at two, the Bucks at three. You have to go all the way down to 16 to see your New Orleans Saints. They went
16,
down
16, huh? Wow.
Yes, they moved down three spots from last week. Currently, they were at 13, but now are at 16. So that's a little bit of NFL news. And then also, Urban Meyer seems to be in danger of losing the locker room in Jacksonville. That whole situation over the weekend was, you know, very bizarre.
What are you talking about? No, what's he talking about? He was helping and making sure that the female standing in front of him didn't fall down. That's what I saw, Jordan.
Yeah, yeah.
At least that's what I told my wife. I said, so, honey, just Jordan sends you this video. I just swear that's exactly what I said. I said, what would you think? It might have taken, you know, like Willie Green says, 0.5. He wants 0.5 players to know if you're dribbling, you're shooting, or you're passing. It was about 0.5 from my wife goes, what? And she let out this gasp. We're like, what is he doing? She could be his daughter. I mean, yeah, there is no way to explain that as I was just sitting here hanging out while everyone was dancing. I mean, it is impossible to A, then say, well, I was with my family. They went home. I stayed behind. And you're basically playing a human seat to a very young looking girl. I don't know how else you come across that. You know what I'm saying? I know. Yeah. Not the kind of start that Jacksonville probably wanted there.
Well, no. And another thing, like, I don't know if this is for a topic of discussion, but I think I saw someone on ESPN, correct me if I'm wrong, if you saw this, saying that it's, you know, everyone's gotten too comfortable with what people do in their private life. But, I mean, I agree with most of the comments. When you're kind of that public figure, you know, you kind of have to hold yourself, you know, a little bit more, you know, cautiously out in public.
Yeah. Like I said, it's not the start that you would want. That is for sure.
No, absolutely
especially
not.
No. For that. But yes, it is what it is, right? And look, and again, yeah, you have to be somewhat aware of the fact that literally today everyone has not only a phone with their cameras, but it doesn't take very long to post that, and that is going to go viral, and this is what happened. There is no explanation. I mean, I, judging by my wife's reaction, that would just be, okay, when do you want me out? I mean, there's no arguing that. I wouldn't know what to say. Jordan, I'd be calling you to see what kind of room you got in your house. I just there wouldn't be an explanation. It's just kind of one of those, well, darn, somebody got me. Seriously, I mean, yeah, okay. Anyway, so that's what it is there.
I kind of wanted to get into last night's Monday night football game.
Oh, here we go. You know, I'm looking through the sound. I'm shocked. I don't have any highlights of, you know, Justin Herbert. All I know is this. You're going to go with Herbert. I'm going to go with the greatest tight end performance since Wheeler beat the Saints last year on Monday Night Football by your buddy, old pal, Jared Bleepin' Cook. That guy looked like Dwight Clark, looked like, you know, what, Tony Gonzalez Hall of Fame tight end. That guy, where was that guy last year for the Saints?
Having crucial plays where he just fumbles the football out of nowhere on the goal line and in a crucial situation and in a playoff game that we will not mention. So it's water under the bridge.
Mm-hmm. All right. Go ahead. Give me your Herbert story. And I'm like, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying he's the best quarterback in the league right now. Better than Pat Mahomes.
It's all the time we have for Jordan the Intern. And look, I'm not cutting you off because of that ridiculous statement. Look at the clock. It says 12:58. I got to go. We'll talk again at some point in the 2 o'clock hour. Don't go. Go take a nap. You got about an hour, and then I'll wake you up. Go set your alarm for 2:30, and we'll talk to you.
No, I don't sleep.
You don't sleep. How's walking class going, by the way?
I think I set my personal best this week, so. Improving by the day.
Your personal best. Well, we all know from that first day of class, you George Costanza'd it. You actually took as long as you possibly could. So then every single time you walk, if you went faster, it's improvement. Congratulations on that theory. That's really good. I mean, honestly, that it's very smart. It's very smart. Basically go snail the first practice, the first walking class.
Hello, baby.
Yep. And from that point on, pick it up. And then you have improved. That is Jordan the Intern. Follow him on Twitter at JD Kleber. At some point, I'll see his face again. And at some point, we will have all 3 hours again. But that will be tomorrow because 2 hours are left. One is in the books. Tim Rebo, Willie Fritz, Frank Selfo. Next hour, when we come back, I want you to listen to Sean Payton from yesterday. Goes into depth and detail After he saw the tape, what did he see? What did he learn? That's next on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
We'll meet on edges soon, said I. Proud, me heated, proud.